few days ago, I was sitting at work and Matt reminded me I was preaching tonight via text message, and I appreciate that. I did remember, but a couple hours later, I got an email that I had an irrigation scheduled, 8:30, 8:10, something like that tonight. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Some short period of time later, my neighbor called me and said, man, will you cancel? I need to cancel, and you have to have two in a row to cancel. I said, perfect, I'll cancel. So I don't have anywhere to be till 8 a.m. tomorrow, so we're good to go. So if I tried to do that, Eutychus fell out the window. I would be the preacher that fell out the window. So, and that's the topic here, sleep. I don't have any science in here. I don't have any references to, healthy sleep or anything like that. A vague reference you'll see, but nothing of a scientific nature. I think I recently looked up from my age bracket what healthy sleep is, of something like that. I think the range was something like 7 to 9 hours. And of course, very young children, and as you grow older, all the patterns change. But I also once heard a preacher say, you know what's on a preacher's mind by what he preaches about. Well, so there you go. Why am I thinking about it? I'm tired, and that's one of the reasons I'm thinking about it. Honestly, it's a push and pull. It's a give and take. Your time, you don't have a lot of it. Everybody's got the same amount, but the way our society is structured, you always feel that you have very little time, and you're in competition with the productive hours, I'll call it, and your sleeping hours. You have work, and work. I'm including everything that you're doing, your tasks at home, your paid employment, if you're in school, anything that you're doing that is just your responsibility, I'm including there. Family, children, parents, our responsibilities toward each other. And I include pets here. I mean, you don't count your dog as your family. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you bring one home, and I don't care if it's a newborn baby or Fido the puppy, at 3 a.m., you're going to be feeling it. They're both going to require your attention. So, yes, your pets make you tired, too. Hobbies. I mean, sports, music, games, movies. Now, it's interesting way movies and TV and entertainment used to be structured some years ago. And now the way it's structured with all these streaming services. So we have traditional Hollywood, and then you have Amazon Prime and Netflix and Redbox and Disney Plus, and then I think NBC's got their Peacock service, they call it, coming out. I mean, and there's something of some entertainment value to just about anyone on one of those services. So is another competition. And then, of course, obviously the more important things. Of course, family being important too. But now we're getting down into your spiritual service, attending church, singings, other needs that arise within the church, your daily devotions, prayer and study. And then somehow you have to fit in some sleep in there. And I kind of thought about this. There's a beautiful piece by Beethoven called the Moonlight Sonata, which absolutely is not a representation of life at all. It's too slow. It's sleepy music. It's William Tell Overture. That's life. I mean, it's just, that's the way I think of life right there. It's almost like, that time-lapse photography, and then you put that music to it. That's kind of how I feel all at times, right? And so, as I do relate to that, and that's kind of how I feel. Is this a biblical discussion? And I feel it is, and I'll show you why. First of all, if you're tired from doing productive things, then go to bed and don't feel guilty about it. All right? You're not going to finish it all. All right? You're going to have something left over. But when it's time to go to bed, just do it. Don't feel guilty. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of a rich man does not allow him to sleep. I don't know. I mean, the rich man, what does that say about him? I mean, honestly, the first thing I thought about was it sounded like he has indigestion, but I don't think that's it at all. I think it's the fact that overindulgence does not help you sleep, because you look at what the working man has. Some days he has a little, some days he has much. Some days he's going to go to bed with money in his account, his savings account. Some days he's going to be tight and tough. but he sleeps well because he's working hard. And the rich man, it doesn't matter that he has a lot. He's full. A lot of times the Bible using food as the example of having a lot. That doesn't necessarily give him sleep. So it's not this indulgence type lifestyle that gives you sleep. It's the actual accomplishment of working. Another thing that might keep you awake is worry. So if you're under the care of God, now, again, I don't want to act like here and there a worry keeps you up. I'm not trying to come down too hard, but I am just saying as a trend that you should try to lay down in your bed with peace in your heart because of a psalm like Psalm 4:8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I have an alarm in my house. I set it. I get the other measures you take, but truly, honestly, faith and belief in God and His care is really your security. When you sleep, when you're awake, that's really where your security is. So sleep well because God's taking care of you. If you're living in wisdom, okay, so you remember the case in Proverbs where the father talking to the son, there's a full chapter on some generics of wisdom and then another chapter on dealing with a adulterous woman. Here, when you lie down, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Making sure that if you're living in wisdom, okay, it's part of the factor about sleeping well, knowing that you're not carrying the baggage of foolish living when you go to bed at night. The rat race, you've heard of that. That's been a term for as long as I've been alive. One hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor and striving after the wind. Now, is that not how most of your corporate jobs feel? You know, this rat race. It's like competition, not only with the company next door, but within the company, the politics that go along with it. I can't imagine many work environments, even the good ones, that don't have some degree of political structuring and frustration. And wouldn't you rather just get away from that sometimes, right? Even though while you're at work, that's your prosperity, is sometimes getting away from it and just being a little bit more content with just getting your job done and not getting involved in that. That can help us when we're talking about getting rest and sleep. Some more literal applications of sleep. Life does get in the way. And so, I mean, pain and illness and sickness and unexpected bills and all, I mean, just, you name it. It runs a gamut. Things that keep you up. Job. I mean, certainly if a guy ever had a valid excuse to suffer trying to get sleep. It says, at night it pierces my bones within me and my gnawing pains take no rest. Talking about some of the things he suffered. David, in Psalm 22, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Of course, both of these have a lot more contextual meaning I encourage you to look into, but I don't think it steers away from the fact that both of these men, for a period of time in their life, had trouble getting to sleep and taking rest when they wanted to. Sometimes you have to deprive yourself of sleep on purpose to get something done. We know of Proverbs 31 talking about the worthy wife or the worthy woman. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. So there's a selfless act because it's not comfortable, is it, ever to give up sleep? But sometimes selflessly, in this case, a worthy wife has to give up some of the things that her family needs in the moment. And I think that would be a wise application to any godly man as well. We have limits. I don't know, and there's so many good characters in the Bible, I don't know how you would categorize like a top five of hardworking servants. But if you were to try to, Moses would have to be on the discussion list. But even Moses, I mean, the laborer he was, he had reached a point where he had too much on his plate. And I don't know that in the book of Exodus that sleep is actually mentioned, but I think it's heavily implied because his father-in-law came to him, said, the thing you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and those people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. He was trying to do all these judgments and make sure he was trying to do his job that God had given him, but it had come too much of a burden for him. So in verse 22 of Exodus 18, so it will be easier for you, and they will bear a burden with you. He was told, given advice by his wise father-in-law, to share the burden, delegate some. Can't do it all, Moses, and neither can you. So sometimes we have to do more, and sometimes we have to take account and just realize who we are and our limitations. I noticed some passages regarding rest and sleep that have to do, it's literal sleep it's talking about, but while it's talking about literal sleep, it's actually making a spiritual meaning. Probably the most popular passage is Matthew 26 and the associated other gospels. When Jesus was praying in the garden and the disciples fell asleep. And this is Jesus coming. He came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So sleep, I mean, again, I'm not going to come down on these guys. I mean, you can imagine how difficult it was to stay awake in that scenario. But it ended up being a representation of the weakness of our own flesh that ultimately has to do with temptation and sin, as Jesus is talking about here. So think about that when you're thinking about your weakness, our human weakness, and how easy it is to fall into temptation. Our laziness is another one. You've heard this passage, no doubt, from Proverbs 24. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. I didn't include it in here, but I believe there's a proverb that also talks about someone sleeping through the harvest, right? And in both passages, you can expect the same thing. You're going to be poor, right? And that's not to say that if you have struggles with money that you're lazy. But on the flip side, if you are lazy, it really doesn't help your bank account. It really doesn't help your ability to pay your bills when you are lazy. Again, I'm not trying to make a judgment that you've had troubles. There's a lot of reasons to have troubles. But if you are lazy, you gotta at least look at this right here and understand that whether you're sleeping through it or whether you're just not really getting after it, it can lead to some poverty and some issues with money. Now, how much is too sleep and how much is not enough? I think what's going on right here, when you're taking rest that you need, it's one thing. But when you're using rest as an excuse to get out of what you have to do, that's when it starts getting over towards this side right here. It's a thing to consider. Again, you're probably, it's probably between you and the Lord, you know, how much, you know, rest you need to take, and you know, is it laziness or is it rest? That's between you and the Lord. But I just throw that out as a thought. There's some figurative usages of sleep. Psalm 116, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you have rescued my soul from death. Okay? So salvation, kind of or redemption. Those are things that can give rest to your soul. And I didn't even think about this before, but honestly, when your soul feels rest, your body's going to actually feel that too. God's patience running out. Psalm 78, then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome by wine. He drove his adversaries backwards. He put them in an everlasting reproach. So sometimes you want God to be asleep. You don't want to wake him up in regards of judgment. And that's kind of what's going on there. Now, I have a friend in Georgia, and we, last 25 years or so, we've made a living of making each other laugh, and probably no one else would laugh. We've come to realize that here 6 months or so ago, and we probably know every movie line, and we've turned things that weren't even meant to be funny into funny things, and that's how we make each other laugh. But again, you probably would all look at us with blank stares. I mean, we were trying to figure out how to monetize it, and we've come up empty. But double your efforts. Okay, so there's this character, Commander, Jergeron. I knew it 5 seconds ago. Basically, okay, this is the commander, all right, in Return of the Jedi that that was responsible for building the Death Star, okay? And he'd gotten behind schedule, all right? So he unexpectedly, Darth Vader shows up, and this guy's all freaked out. I mean, he's got the whole Adam's apple going up and down. He's sweaty and everything. And it gets worse for him. Darth Vader's like in his face pointing at him, and all of a sudden he's like, the Emperor's coming next. And he's like, the Emperor's coming. And what's his response? Of course, he doesn't think he has enough men. He can't build this thing. And he's like, his only response is, we'll double our efforts. Right? So, of course, when you got Darth Vader helping you out, everything worked out and the Death Star was built. But the point is right here, I never even heard that phraseology outside of Star Wars before. But in another movie, I've heard of it mentioned as some heroic character talking about not resting until I have accomplished this task, right? And I can remember as a kid thinking, hearing that, I think it was a Robin Hood movie, hearing that, it's like, but the guy's going to go to sleep, so that's clearly not what it means, right? We can say we're not going to rest until this happens. Clearly, it doesn't mean you're never going to go to bed if the task is going to take more than a couple of days to accomplish. So what does it mean? I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Okay. Of course, this is talking with David, looking for making preparations for the Lord's temple. But when you think about what he meant here, that preparation took many days and many heartfelt hours. So why was he talking about not actually sleeping? Well, the actual idea of rest can actually come into the idea of focus. What is your focus? Now, in the movie situation I mentioned right here, those actors, the characters in the movies were talking about being more focused, cutting out anything in their way that could be considered fat, and focusing strictly on the task. Now, even that takes mental effort and drags you down. And sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes you have to double your effort or go without rest in the figurative sense and just double, triple, quadruple down your focus on the task you're doing. And again, that does take effort and not always comfortable. And then, of course, again, one of the more popular references is death. When the little girl died, Jesus came, and entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." So, I believe there's a passage when, was it not when the Lord was raised from the dead, that those, many that had fallen asleep had been raised. So in other places, sleep is referenced as death. Okay. So you see the figurative uses. So I've talked about literal, figurative, spiritual application, and then purely figurative. And then lastly, we talk about God's rest. The most popular place about God's rest is Genesis 2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. It's a very, the human projection here of rest upon God is something that strikes you. You know, it's different. The Almighty resting, it grabs your attention. But what is it actually referencing? Think about later on in the scriptures. It gets kind of scary here. God talking about in Psalm 95, "Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest." And then the last passage I have here, Hebrews 4, "For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest, so that no one will fall through following the example of disobedience." So you think about what I mentioned a minute ago about being doubling your effort, focusing down. While we're here on earth and we're being subjected to temptation and physical infirmities and aging process and just all the struggles of life, again, it requires focus. And that's part of being a Christian, is focusing on your responsibility. And again, I don't want to overemphasize it or mischaracterize it, but putting blinders on, so to speak, towards the things that don't matter. You have to do that a lot so you can focus on what really does matter. And I don't mean putting blinders in the sense that you're not watching out for temptations coming, but I'm talking about just trying to focus in on serving the Lord and putting less of the temporal things that don't matter. But you think about the rest here, what's God's rest going to be like? When God rested from his works, the seventh day was not focused on creation at that point. He had done the creation in the 6 days. And on the seventh day, it says he rested. I don't believe God actually physically was constrained by the physical idea of sleepiness or tired muscles. What I think here is that God chose a day where he changed his focus on, you know, what he was going to do with his creation, right? And it leads into the things that he's talking about later, right? His rest, right? You're not going to get to go, these people that in Psalm 95 that were rebellious, they were not going to get to go to his rest. Where you get to, in his rest, remove the burdens of this world. You get, you know, the focus you have on this world right now. You're not going to get to experience that. Don't you just, I mean, I'm talking in a healthy manner. Don't you just sometimes want to get away from this life? All right. And again, I'm speaking in a healthy manner. I'm not talking about, you know, something where people are troubled with life. I'm talking about you're ready sometimes to experience what we're talking about right here. Okay. And then lastly, diligent to enter that rest. God rested from his works. We want to rest from ours, right, with him. But we're not going to if we follow that same example of disobedience. So it's kind of like you work hard now and you get to rest from what you've accomplished here through God, of course, but you get to rest from that with God, but it's an eternal rest. Now, I heard somebody characterize it. I don't think they were necessarily wrong, but somebody was trying to characterize what heaven was like and they were using rest as an example. And they were talking about, I don't remember exactly what they were saying it, but it was in reference to sleep. I don't necessarily, and I don't think you would say you do either. There's a lot of unknowns about what's coming in heaven. But one thing we can say for certain is that it will be resting from this world. That's powerful, is it not? When you think about what there's no day, but what will the activities be like with the songs that we'll be hearing, the praise that will be going on? Will we get to interact with the men and women that we read about in the Bible? Will we see our great grandparents that have gone before us? All those questions we have, what will it be like? But what's really important here is that God has a place prepared where these things that just are just a weight, they age us, they make trouble for us here. They're not there. They're not there. And then we can take down our guard because there's no more sin. I think that's very powerful. And it's the ultimate rest, right? Where you can finally, experience what it's like to have no burden. Do you want to experience that? I by your presence here, I only trust that you do. But there's a warning there, and I think we should take it with us. It requires diligence. Right, and that's the focus I'm talking about. Remember the doubling your effort, the not resting until we don't rest here, we rest there, and that's the diligence it's talking about. Let's be diligent to do that, and I hope that's a good segue into an invitation right there. Because if you follow that same example of disobedience, if you're living a life of disobedience, you don't have rest to look forward to. Now think about you. Again, I don't know who I'm looking at. I'm looking at all of you. If you are living in sin, you want to go to bed tonight, don't you? You want to rest from today, right? It would be a uncomfortable thought to know that I tell you, you're not going to go to sleep tonight. I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about something's going to keep you up. Oh, man, I'm going to be up all night. And you're just going to be a drag tomorrow. And then you hope you sleep the next night, okay? Think about it, an eternal state of unrest. That just sounds completely uncomfortable. That sounds completely torturous and something I don't want to be a part of. When you're tired, you want to rest, and I hope that you take that seriously, the ones in here who need to, that when you die, you have an opportunity to put your labors aside. And I really hope that really rings true as you think about your own physical body wanting to rest. Your spiritual body gets to do it as well. So as we think about those things, for those here who are Christians, for those who are not, for anybody and all of us who want to enter into heaven, hopefully this sermon has given you something to think about. I certainly did not cover everything the Bible talks about regarding rest and sleep, and I certainly can't in this period of time. But hopefully enough to get you to be curious and think more about it. So please, if you have a need or are subject to the gospel in any way, please come forward. We stand and sing.